Well, it's a great day today, and really excited about what we're going to be talking about this morning, and that is we're going to do a standalone message on our points of passion. We just finished a wonderful series out of the book of Philippians. Anybody enjoy that? That's what I thought. I was afraid to ask that again. I asked that last week, and five people clapped, and so I thought I'd try it again. I'll just stop trying that. But anyway, it was a great series that we studied about joy, and excited today about this just standalone message on our points of passion as a church. And I think what we need to focus on for just today as we go into this season, we're going into Christmas, we've just, you know, finished up Thanksgiving. That's always a kickoff to Christmas. You know, my tradition is I always love to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Of course, you know at the Thanksgiving Day parades, at the end of it, they have Santa Claus at the end, which means here he comes, all right? So it's coming. Christmas is on its way, and so it's just a wonderful season. I don't know how you feel about the season of Christmas, but really, it's the most wonderful time of the year because, honestly, it presents awesome opportunities because I look around and I see the different things that are happening. Christmas lights are already going up, and I realize, what is this all about? And it's all about Jesus. And today we want to talk about really what this thing is all about and what really matters. So I want to bring our awareness to what matters. Here's the deal, and that is, and this may sound a little cliche-ish, but, and that is, at Crosspoint, we need to be on point. At Crosspoint, we need to be on point because a lot of times, as churches, we miss what really is the point of it all and what really matters because the fact of the matter is there is this gravitational pull that pulls on all of us, myself included, and that is that this whole thing is about me. It's all about me. I want mine. Help me. I want to feel good. Minister to me. But the fact of the matter is, that is not the point. When you come to Christ, yes, before you come to Christ, it is all about you. But after you come to Christ, it's not about you. You're in the family of God. It is all about ministering to those around us, and it's no longer about you. It's about others. So we're going to talk about that today and what that really means. And that doesn't mean that your needs aren't going to be taken care of. Here's what I find out. Your needs are more cared about, more taken care of when you're ministering to others than when you're trying to take care of yourself. Now, that's just good preach right there, folks. And that is that oftentimes when we try to just take care of ourselves, and here's what I see, especially among church folks, and I like to use this little phrase, and that is that oftentimes when we think about ourselves, we sit, we soak, and we sour. But when we get up off of our seat and we begin to minister to others, what happens is there's a flow that comes into our life and through our life. We're blessing to others, but in the process, we get blessed ourselves. You understand that? Because even the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Because when you give, there's something being given to you in the process. God pours into those that are giving. That's His nature. He puts that nature in us, and we give to others and bless others. So I want us to focus on what really matters most. And I want us to look, first of all, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I did not give you message notes this week because I just want you to be heads up, eyes up, focus, hearts engaged, and really just get this in your heart, what we're saying today as what our focus is as a church. Acts 1 and 8, Jesus, as He's leaving, He says to His disciples, "You will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so His message to them was, you're going to be my witnesses. Jesus is the light, but now He calls us light and salt, and He's going to place us in different places, and we're going to be witnesses. We're going to testify of Him. We're going to reflect who He is in every place that He puts us. And then He spells this out, and he says, in Jerusalem, and that would be their city. And then He says, and in all Judea and Samaria, and that's the region, so that would be like their country. And then to the ends of the earth, and that would be the world. And so the same is true for us. The message also comes true for us, and that is that our focus, where God has placed us, we should be affecting our city. We should be affecting our nation. We should be affecting our world. But I believe, and you say, well, I can't do all that. Yes, I believe we can. And there's ways that God allows us and gives us opportunities to do all three of those. And we're going to look at those this morning. When we talk about what really matters and what the point of our passion is, I want you to look at James chapter 1 and verse 27 that says, real religion the kind that passes muster before God the Father is this: reach out to the homeless and to the loveless in their plight. Reach out to the homeless. Reach out to the orphans. Reach out to the widows. Reach out to those that are in need, that need love. Hey, everybody, we've got a world that needs love and that needs to encounter the love of Jesus. And if you call yourself a Christian, and that means to be Christ-like, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to those in need. He came to the poor. He came to the needy. He came to those that were in prison, that were in captivity. He came to those that were bound up and to set them free. And so Jesus is saying, carry on the work that I've been called to by my Father. You carry this work on, and this is what really matters. And what I want us to see when we look at our points of passion as a church, and that is this: that it's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. It's not a got to, it's a get to. What we do around church here is not because I have a responsibility, I need to feel this and I need to do this because it's expected of me. No, it's an opportunity for us to be able to do and to serve Christ. Can anybody understand that? It is an honor and a privilege to be a part of this family that God has called His own and then be commissioned by Him to go out and make a difference in the world. And so even in this series that we just came out of, that we talked about how that we are to love God, and by loving Him, He is the center of our joy. He is the center of our joy. Joy can only be found in Christ. And so that means we're in a loving relationship with Him. And so because of that loving relationship with Jesus Christ, we experience true joy that supersedes everything else in our life. But then let's take it a step further as we talk about this today, and that is that we are not only to love God, but we are to love one another, because Jesus in John chapter 15 said that if you love one another, and He actually even made that a commandment, if you love one another, He said, your joy will be full. So as you make it not about you, but about others, listen, even you are blessed in the process. He said, your joy, I'm telling you this, because if you get this, if you understand it's not about you, but it's about others, and if you orient yourself in this manner, if you understand it's about others, it's going to change your life. You're actually going to be fulfilled. You're going to have joy in your life when you focus on others. So we need to focus on what matters. And let me put it this way. We need to be passionate about what matters, because there is a cause that matters. And I was reminded of David, who asked this question. He said, is there not a cause? Now, this question came up when God's people were facing a giant. When God's people were facing a giant. Actually, this week, I saw on TV, it had on one of the stations I was looking at, it had a little bit of had Facing the Giants, the movie. Anybody remember the movie Facing the Giants? I didn't see the whole thing, but I was just changing the channels, and where I changed the channel to was when the guys were in the locker room with the coach, and they had this team that was not expected and was not doing very well, but they turned their life to God and began to do things God's way, and God began to turn things around, and so they had this big rivalry, this big championship game that they had to go and play. And these guys were like head and shoulders above them. They were like giants to these guys. These guys were like peewees compared to these guys. Has everybody seen the movie? Everybody seen the movie? I just want to make sure I'm connecting here. And so they're there in the locker room after a miracle happened. They beat the other team, you know, and this guy kicked a field goal, won the game. And so the coach, who had been very discouraged but had learned to begin to do things God's way and God turned everything around, was standing there in the locker room, and he was asking the question of each one of them, is there anything impossible with God? Is there anything? He asked the kid who kicked the field goal, is there anything impossible with God? He talked to one of the kids who built a wall, you know, a defense. Is there anything impossible with God? And then he gets home. The coach gets home after that time of just celebrating and recognizing that God is awesome. He got home, and this coach and his wife had been praying that God would bless them with a baby. They've been praying for so long, it seemed like their prayer wasn't answered. And he walked in the house, and the wife looks at him and says to him, Coach, is there anything impossible with God? And he says, I just don't know. I mean, He's done this for me and this for me, and how He's blessed me and secured my job and all what He's done for me. And she grabbed him by the face and she said, "Congratulations, you made it in the team." And he said, "What team?" She said, "The daddy team." And of course, he begins to cry and weep. And he says, "Oh God, I'm overwhelmed. I want to tell you something. God wants to overwhelm you with his goodness. And in fact, I was watching that and I was that's all I saw, guys. That's all I saw, just that little scene. And I was standing over there, I started crying, you know, because here's what I know. There's a couple in our church. We're going to be telling you about it. We're going to have a special day. We're going to just tell you the whole story. But there's a couple in our church that have been praying, "God, we want a baby." They actually met with me and Kim in private and just shared their heart, and we prayed with them. And it's been some time ago that took place. Well, just recently, guess what? God blessed them with a baby, right? it was just awesome. And they were, 3 pounds, but God blessed them with a baby. From what I understand, I think the baby was coming home yesterday from the hospital. Thank God for his faithfulness. But I want to tell you, God just wants to knock your socks off. But here's what I know. Here they were facing this giant. David was facing a big, bad giant. And the giant was this guy named Goliath that no one else had the courage to fight. But because David trusted God, David was used by God to bring a great victory. And here's the scene of it. David is sent because he's not a warrior, okay, in his family's eyes. And so he's sent by his father to go visit his brothers who are in battle, to take them some food, find out how things are going, and report back. And so David goes and he hears this Philistine called Goliath defying the armies of the living God. And so David starts saying, "What in the world is going on here?" And he starts asking questions. And his question is saying, "Who is this guy? Who is this guy to defy the armies of the living God? How dare he do this?" Now, the army, God's army was like cowering in fear. They were trembling in their boots. There was nobody accepting the challenge. And then David started asking, what happens to the one who defeats this guy? I mean, look at this. They were looking at it as a problem, but David was looking at it as an opportunity. As an opportunity. And so God used David, and David began asking around. And so what happened? The brothers began to hear David asking all these questions. And they began to say, what do you think you're doing? You're just a kid. Get out of here. This is men's work. And David then asked this question. He says, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Now get this. God's army, Israel, was paralyzed in fear. They were paralyzed in fear. And so what was at stake was freedom or bondage. What was at stake was life or death. And they were paralyzed in fear. And David steps up and says, "Is there not a cause here?" And here's what I want us to see in this. And that is that today people are enslaved in bondage spiritually. Not living in freedom. In fact, the Bible says that they're not living at all. It is a life or death issue. The Bible describes it as when we're not in Christ, we are not just bad people, but actually we're dead in our sins. We're not even living. We're dead in our sins. We're separated from God, the giver of life. And oftentimes, let me take it a step further, oftentimes the church is paralyzed in fear, worrying about defeat instead of recognizing the power of Christ who always causes us to triumph. Can I get a good amen right there? We are always caused to triumph in Christ. The Bible tells us that. And so David said and asked this question, "Is there not a cause?" And today I've got to ask us this question. Is there not a cause? There is another battle happening here. There is a battle. The Bible tells us we're in spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. We encounter things and struggle against things. But here's what I know. On this earth, we are all engaged in this battle. And there is an eternal cause. And we must focus on the eternal cause. And let me, with that, give you this reminder. That is that we are just not a person that is in a body having sporadic spiritual experiences. Rather, you are a spirit having a temporary physical experience. You are an eternal person that will spend eternity somewhere. The body, as we know, will not last forever. We do not know what a day will bring. I was discussing this over the holidays. I had a grandmother that passed away the month she was passed away in was August. This was some years ago. And my aunt, it was in the home of my aunt's house. And she was there ministering, caring for her as her mother was dying. And little did she know that in the same month, a year later, she would pass away as well. Who knew? We don't know what a day will bring. And I'm not here to discourage you and make you live in fear, but the fact of the matter is, these bodies, we know, will not last forever, but our spirit continues forever. The eternal God, get this, the eternal God created us, and He breathed into us His spirit. And so we are comprised of body, we are comprised of soul, that's that mind part of us, that emotional part of us, the feeling part of us. And we are also comprised of spirit. God breathed His spirit into us. And this is what really matters in life. And that is that part of us that will last forever. And so the part that lasts forever, folks, and we have to be reminded of this, especially in the midst of a society that gets in the hustle and bustle of the commercialism of the season we're going into, and that is that the thing that these are the things, the eternal things, are the things that we should be passionate about. The things that we should be passionate about are the things that last forever. It's the eternal things, not the temporary things. So as a church, our focus must be fixed on an eternal God, and get this, and on what He is focused on, and that is people who will spend eternity somewhere. With Him forever or separated from Him forever. Eternal life or eternal death. And David here became a deliverer, and he is a type and shadow of a deliverer, and that is the deliverer, Jesus Christ, who I believe would ask us as a church, is there not a cause? And here's what I think about it. And that is that God thought the cause of coming on the scene of your battleground where you find yourself camped to be so important to liberate you and to set you free and to give you new life. He thought there was a cause, so much so that He left the splendor of heaven to come to this earth and suffer and be persecuted and misunderstood and abused and rejected by His own, to die on the cross, to liberate you and I. He says you're worth the cause of it all. You're worth it. And so if God Himself realizes that there is a cause so much that He would leave heaven to come to us, then we as a church, we need to understand what this thing is really all about. Are you getting this? God's given me some reminders just recently to help jog me to remember what this thing is all about. Because, listen, as a church, sometimes we forget and we get off course of really what this thing is all about. And how important is this cause? It's that God left heaven to come to a cross. Jesus came because, get this, because of this reason. Because He was passionate about you. He was passionate and is passionate about you. And that just does something for me. That just calls up something in me that says, that asks the question, what am I passionate about? Who am I passionate about? Jesus said He is passionate about you. And so as a church, what are our points of passion? And just as Jesus gave the disciples commission to go to the world, He also gives us that commission as well. And that has to become our passion. So here's the deal. Our passion needs to be about Charlotte. Come on. Our passion has to be about America. And our passion has to be about the world. Well, that's kind of big general stuff there, Pastor. Well, how does that work out? Okay. Your passion, first of all, needs to be about your family. Right? Start there. Guess what? Come on. Wives, you should be passionate about your husband. Hey, come on, and here comes your part, ladies. And husbands, you should be passionate about your wives. And the lady said, amen. There should be passion. Hey, come on, we should be loving one another. The greatest thing you could do for your child is to love each other, right? And there's another passion. You should be passionate about your kids. Come on, You could get along. you could get along with my mother as long as you didn't mess with her kids or her dog. We should be passionate about our family, about what that's what matters, right? We should be passionate. Guess what else we should be passionate about? Let's extend it out a little bit further. This is simple, y'all. You should be passionate about taking care of your neighbors. You should be passionate about loving your neighbor. That's the person that lives, that's your real neighbor. That's the person that lives next to you. Or that's an acquaintance that you know. That's somebody you know, somebody you've come. Be passionate. Listen, we should be passionate. You know why we should be passionate about them? They're not just somebody that's a nuisance. They're not just a neighborhood nuisance. They're not somebody that's just in the way. They're an eternal soul that's going to live forever. And right there, even what you think is a problem is really an opportunity in your neighborhood, not a problem in your neighborhood. And there is a cause there. There's an eternal soul that's going to live forever somewhere. And I just think we need to start looking again at people in a different light. And that is not that, oh man, they got problems, they got baggage, they got issues. Look, we need to understand people matter. People matter. And oftentimes we're so focused on the temporary things that don't matter. What we're going to put on, our clothes, what we look like, you know, how cool we are, how we're dressed, what songs we listen to, what our set list is, you know, what we're doing in life, what our income is. All those things are temporary. Yeah, they matter, but they don't matter most. What matters is eternal souls. So we extend it out to our neighbors. And then let's take it a step further. Let's go to our classmates. Let's go to our roommates, right? Come on. Let's go to our coworkers. They matter. Your boss matters. That's a person. It's not just a person with a title giving you orders. It's a real person that's got a family, that's got a need. They were born somewhere. They have a mother and a father. They got a past. They got a history. There's something that matters. Then they're going to live forever. And their future is further and greater than their past. And they matter. I'm telling you, if we see people and look beyond their faces and see their heart and see what really lasts forever, I believe we'll treat people different than we ever have before. And I'm convinced of this. Church, if we could get a hold of this principle and understand this, I'm telling you, there would not be enough seats in this house for people. Are you hearing me? I think what happens oftentimes is churches get inward focused, get focused on what they want, satisfy me, make me happy, Burger King, make it my way. Come on, folks, that we're missing the mark. I don't want Cross Point to be off point. I want us to be on point. And our point has to always be about the eternal souls. Amen, everybody? I'm not fussing at us. I'm just trying to stir us up and remind us about really what does matter. And if people matter, here's how we can affect them. Here's how we can affect them locally. We need to invite people to come to Christ. We need to look for those opportunities to win them to Christ. We need to go beyond the surface and get close enough to people where we have earned the right to be able to invite them to Christ. And if it's a situation that may be difficult for you to do that one-on-one and you don't know how, let me give you another idea. This is a cool idea. Invite them to church. And here's what I promise. I promise if you will bring them, we will treat them with respect and dignity. We will treat them with honor. We will love them and respect them. And we will do our best. And I'm trying to do my best to present the gospel in a simple, understandable way. And that God, and we're praying over all of that stuff, that God would remove every distraction and every hindrance so that the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything in its way that he can begin to enter into their heart and their minds and begin to do his life-changing work inside of them. Amen? Come on, everybody. Invite them to church. So why does the church grow? I want to ask you something. Have you invited anybody lately? Okay? Are you helping us make a difference? Are you here with passion? Come on, coming ready to greet them when they get here. Come on, why are we doing all this? Why? Our point of passion is people. That's why. Because people matter. People matter. So locally, that's what the church is here for. The church is the hope of the world. Did y'all know that? The local church is the hope of the world. And yes, we know Christ is the hope of the world, but Christ put the church here to be his representative, right? To be his hands and to be his feet. And so the hope of our community, that's why we're trying to engage our community and get out and do serve days and reach out as a church. And that is because we want to see lives change for eternity. Because there is a cause. That's why, right? And so invite them to church. Come early. I mean, get here. Be passionate. Go all in. Go all in. I got to just pause right here and just give a shout out to my son. I know sometimes y'all think he gets aggravated with stuff, you know, and he does. But he's passionate about the church. Last night he did not sleep, but he studied all night. He's an architect student. Larry understands. But he's here today because he's passionate, you know. And some of us, we get a toe ache or a hangnail, all right? I love you, all right? I'm just saying, what really matters? I love you, but we need to be passionate. Because here's the deal. If it's all about you, it doesn't matter whether you show up or whether you don't. It doesn't matter what you do or what you don't. Because I'm just going to come in there and see if they got anything for me today. And I didn't like it, but I'm going home. I'm going to go back to business as usual. But if you'll turn that around and it's not about you, but it's about others, guess what? You got to be there for somebody else. You got to worship so somebody else knows how to worship. Come on, you got to befriend people so that they know they've got a friend in Christ. Amen, everybody. Is this okay? I love you. I'm not fussing at us. I'm trying to encourage us and remind us, because honestly, any church, it's very easy for us to forget what it's all about, and so we lose our passion. So we got to make sure we stay on point. On point. So there's a lot of things as a church that we're trying to do. Let me just get kind of practical with you here. Here's some things we're doing. And why are you doing these things, Pastor? It's not because we're trying to be cool. I'm going to make that clear. It's not because we're trying to entertain anybody. Okay? It's all because we want to try to present things in a way that will connect with people. When they come in, they understand and receive Christ. And so we're going to do everything we can. I don't care. If the color of the carpet makes a difference in somebody's life, I'll change the color of the carpet. All right? I'm not saying that's going to make a difference. I'm not saying lights change anybody, but we're going to do everything we can, right? It's the Holy Spirit now that's going to saturate everything we do and make everything work, but we're going to work as hard as we can, and then we're going to pray as hard as we can and believe that God's going to make a difference, right? This is some practical things we're going to be doing around here, just to let you know. We're going to be changing the stage up. We're going to be just, I mean, we don't want the same old, same old. Does anybody want the same old, same old? We're not going to have the same old, same old, okay? We're going to be changing this up. We're going to do some things, try to just create some atmosphere, some intimacy. We're going to try to pull things in to make it more intimate. You'll see it's coming by the first of the year. It's all going to be new. We're also going to be setting things up for the Christmas next month scene, but we're going to be changing things on the inside and what things look like in our foyer and all that stuff. But also, we're going to change the outside because we want them to know we're here, right, everybody? We want them to get in the front door. We got a new sign that I'm working on with a sign company that they're working on right now. That's in the works. Everybody knows we need a new sign, right? We need a sign. We'll get a directional sign out here. I'm just giving you some practical stuff. We'll get a directional sign out here at the entrance so people don't miss our turn. We want them to see us and come in. We're going to be cutting down all of our Bradford pears. Don't be alarmed, all y'all that are concerned about trees, because we're putting some in their place, and it's called crepe myrtles that aren't going to hide the church. So we're thankful for that. And the city's going to allow us to do that, and it's not going to cost us anything other than some labor. Can I get some men to do this and say, I can do it? All right. So, I mean, we're redoing our kids' ministry center so that our kids could come in and it be relative and be current, and they can connect and be excited about worshiping Jesus. And worship's going to be a big part of what we're going to do next door. So what we're doing over here, we want them to be doing that over here. Everything that we're doing as a church, when we do small groups, we're going to have them doing small groups. We're going to do prayer cards, they're going to do prayer cards. But they do small groups over there because they don't have cars. We got cars, they don't have cars, so they do their small groups over there. And excited, we got people that are already, that are joining our Crosspoint Kids ministry and committing to that. And I'm just so excited about the things that are coming. But all this is for the purpose of winning people to Christ. It's all for that purpose. We're not going to stop here on this campus. But also, what we're doing, we're going to go across the street and we're going to affect that campus. God convicted me just recently and reminded me of the verse that He impressed upon my heart when He called me. And that was, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, it said go into the world. My son's reminded me, Dad, we can't make a difference sitting here like we can if we have a presence on campus. And honestly, you might think this is silly. And if you got a better idea, I'm all ears. I told our college kids, we're getting some college kids in the house, thank God. And I told some of them they're coming. You don't mind me calling you kids. Students, college students, excuse me. I told them, I said, hey, if you got some ideas, let's talk about it. Let's form a small group. Let's see what we can do together. I don't know what works, but help me understand what works. I was thinking about actually getting a tent. You know, one of those tents that have the top over outside, you know, and just put our little logo up there and just say, need prayer. And just sit it on campus in the neutral zone. That's the Belk Tower. You know, that's where the guys over there screaming on the megaphone. We're not going to be doing that. We're going to be sitting there and just say, need prayer, and let people come by and want prayer and just pray with them. Just connect. Just minister to them, right? Not counsel. Just pray. You know what I'm saying? All right? So some exciting things that we believe are going to happen there. Also, let me just say this. We got a lot of students that are now parking here during the week on this campus and are coming and going. And one of the things we're looking and we're talking to the Pregnancy Resource Center about them bringing, they're getting a new vehicle that's a smaller type of mobile unit that they can come and bring it and park it on our lot at certain times during the week and be a presence here right on 49. And hopefully if there's somebody out there in a situation where a young lady is pregnant and unwed and doesn't know what to do and is weighing out her options, we're going to have an option for her. Come on, everybody. Ain't that good? Isn't that good? A lot of great things are happening right here. I won't go through all of them, all the points of things that we're doing. But we're doing things here. We want to do things locally. We want to do things nationally and internationally. And there's ways to do that. One of the greatest ways we're doing it right now as a church, I don't know if you realize this, but every month when you give in your offerings, in your tithe, it goes locally, it goes nationally, and it goes internationally. Did you know you're making a difference every time we receive an offering in that manner? All right? There's some other things that are happening. Let me move on because I'm going to tell you those as we move forward in this message. But just understand, all this that we're doing, from the greeters, why the cones out there are important, because I want guests to have priority. I want them to know they're important. I want them to know they're loved. That's why we have the cones out there, because we want the guests to be able to come and park there and be treated with, I'm first class. Come on, everybody. We want everything to be done with excellency. You know why we want things done with excellency? Because excellency equals comfort. You're comfortable. You relax. And when you relax, you can receive. Everything we're doing is about people receiving Christ. So from the parking lot to the nursery to the kids' ministry to the food ministry to the all that's going on here, ushers, the band, everything is happening here. It's all for people. Please, let's not, as a church, lose sight of that. It's all about people. So here's some practical things that we can do. Number one, we need to pray. We need to pray. Because everything that we're talking about does not work without prayer. It doesn't work. It really doesn't work. In fact, you could take two people that are doing, I was reminded of this, you could take two people that are doing the same thing, same actions, everything the same, and one's producing and one's not producing, spiritually speaking, because one is working in the carnal, one's working in the one's working in the spiritual. And the difference is our connection to God, and is God in what we're doing? And so everything we're doing has to be saturated with prayer. We must invite Him into it, because that's the secret sauce, y'all. It's praying. It's having the Holy Spirit come and enter into what we're doing, into our hands and into our feet. And then when we touch people, He touches people. Are you following that? When we work, He works through us. When we're connected to Him, but we have to be connected to Him. Otherwise, the power's off. You follow me? And so here's what I want to understand. And I don't think I've made this clear, and I just need to really make sure I make this clear. We have small groups here, okay? We have small groups here that we want to see people grow through these small groups. There's one small group, and it's our prayer small group, okay? There's different facets of that ministry. There's prayer shields, there's prayer walks, there's all these things that the prayer team does. But here's the deal. Saturday morning is not, I want us to understand this very clearly, Saturday morning is not reduced to our prayer small group, okay? Saturday morning is, the prayer group hosts this. But this is an event, this is a time, it is another thing that we do on a weekly basis where we come together, leaders come together, the church comes together for 1 hour and prays for Sunday morning service. I believe when we see Saturday, get this, when we see Saturday increasing in numbers of people praying, and I know it's not about numbers, but I'm just saying, when we get serious and passionate and know it matters, I believe when we see Saturday growing, we'll see Sunday growing. Are you with me? All right. So understand Saturday is hosted by the prayer team, but if you're not on the prayer team, that doesn't mean that excludes you. That is for everyone. That is for everyone to come and to be engaged in prayer and seeking God. And the agenda on Saturday is Sunday. The agenda on Saturday is praying that people will come, that people, when they get here, won't have the hindrances, but will be able to have free access to God. We must have that happening in this church. If everything stopped, the one thing that we must keep going is the prayer time. Now, I understand. Please understand. I'm not being legalistic and trying to be hard-nosed about this. I work on Saturdays. After I said all that, I work on Saturdays. I can't help that. Some of you may work on Saturdays. I get that. But if you're not obligated, I encourage you to be here. I'm praying with you in spirit. I'm just kind of case in mail when I'm praying, all right? And that's what we have to do. And if you can't get here, then be praying where you are. But I believe something special and powerful happens when we come together for the purpose of saying, God, it's so important. It matters so much. There's such a cause that I'm going to get up this morning. I'm going to leave. My family's sleeping on Saturday anyway. By the time I get back, that's when they'll wake up and just come and pray. If you can't get your kids up, right? Pray. So seek God. We need to be praying. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9. He says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So increase comes by the Lord. We need workers. We need laborers. How's that going to happen? We're going to pray them in. Come on, everybody. We're going to pray because that's what Jesus said we're to do. We're going to pray that happens. And I'm having some meetings with some of our leaders, and we've got a flow chart. You're going to see this by the end of the year. We're going to be presenting some things with some leadership, help you understand the flow chart of how things work around here, and we're going to be talking to different people about different positions where we need filled. And we're going to pray, though. We're praying over this and praying that God will supply and meet the need. And then the next thing that we need to do, and that is go. Go. Second point is go. Pray and then go. In other words, put legs to your prayers. Crosspoint needs to be a church that's in motion. That's in motion. Not sitting each week doing the same thing, but in motion doing things. It's not all about what happens here in 1 hour and 15 minutes, but it's about what happens beyond here. We need to be a church in motion. So get on a dream team. Get on a dream team. Be serving. Make a difference. And here's another point I want to bring out, and that is go on a missions trip. We're going to be telling you about a wonderful opportunity next week about a missions trip that's coming up after the first of the year to India. We've got a special video we're going to share with you next week about that. And there may be somebody here that has the ability to be able to do that and go there. Go. Be a part of that. Engage. Get out of your box. Get out of your own four corners. Get out of just the local and go global. And come on and see God do great things. Amen. We're also planning and talking about having a missions trip in the summer, next summer, to Central America again. And so we'd be praying about that, and that's through Life to Life, and we're just going to believe for great, great things there. So just be remembering those things. Go and be a church in motion. Isaiah 6:8 says this, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. He said, who can I send? And the prophet said, hey, I'll go. Send me. Here am I. Send me. And that needs to be our attitude. The third thing that we need to do, and that is give. Give. Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And what he's saying here is this. Invest in what matters. Invest in eternal things. Next week, we're going to have a wonderful opportunity to give in a legacy offering. And it's going to go to bringing two orphans back from Ukraine. At the end of this service, we're going to be praying over Larry and Michelle Ziner. They're going to be flying out today at 3 o'clock is their flight to fly to Ukraine and bring, and there's a process there. There's a lot of back and forth right now, and we need to support this. Are you hearing me? Why does that matter, Pastor? Guess what? You're one person. Do you think you matter? Guess what? There's two kids in Ukraine that need Christ, that need a Christian home, that need America, that need to come here and have a forever family. Right, that are orphans, that after they get to a certain age, they're over there going to be just kicked out on the street, and they got an opportunity to be rescued. We have an opportunity to make a difference and invest in something that matters. What matters? People. Amen, everybody? Come on. Come on, somebody rejoice over that. Opportunity. I know this is just a practical message, but I want you to understand what really matters, what really matters. I've subtitled this message, we're talking about the points of passion, the passion of Christ. It's Christ that has passion for us. And all of what we're doing is working toward one thing. The ultimate culmination to all this is found at the end of the book in Revelation chapter 21. And it words it this way: Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Look at how beautiful that is written. And it says, as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. God sees you. He sees you as his bride, that he's anxiously waiting for that day to be married to you forever. You hearing me? Think about when you were engaged to be married, those of you that are married, and you couldn't wait for that date to get. I remember telling Kim, I don't know if it'll ever get here. I can't wait. Will it really get here? You know, I was thinking something tragic will happen. You know, I'll never get to be standing at the altar and her coming down the aisle. But that day came and she came down the aisle, and I'm telling you, she looked good. And, you know, and I thank you, Jesus, you know. And now 28 years later, you know, and I love her more than I ever have before. And I want to tell you, God feels that way about you even more so. Does it compare to our love? Listen, his love for you, he just can't wait to come and get you to be with you forevermore. Understand the passion that God has for you. Understand this also. He will fight for you. He is for you. And he's on your side. I grew up as the baby boy. I had two older sisters. And we would fight. But don't let anybody else try to pick on one of us. They'd be in major trouble. I remember one time I was in the woods. And I was a little thing. And Chucky, this big old guy. And he was chunky, Chucky. Anyway, he was picking on me. And he was bigger than me, and I couldn't stand. And my sisters found out he was picking on me and wanting to fight with me. Buddy, they ran up there, and I'm telling you what, they were ready to fight for their little brother. And I thought they can't stand up against Chucky, but they did. And I want to tell you, Jesus, when he sees you going through troubles, and he sees you having battles in life, and when he sees you on the battlefield, and there's giants that you're facing, and you don't know where to go and what to do, God looks and says to Jesus, looks at his Father and says, Is there not a cause? And Jesus comes to us, and his Holy Spirit comes to us to rescue us and let us know he's passionate about you. He'll fight for you. He is on your side. And I have to say this, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. And look at Ephesians chapter 5 that puts it this way. He died so that he could give the church to himself as a bride in all her beauty. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. I said this during our joy series, but you are the joy that was set before him. Isn't that great? I mean, that blows me away. You were here. He's passionate about it. He went to the cross and suffered all that. Guess what? He inconvenienced himself. Some of us just don't want to be inconvenienced. He inconvenienced himself. He didn't just inconvenience himself. He suffered and died for you and I, the passion of the Christ. We celebrate this Passion Week. It really means the suffering of Christ, what he was suffering for you because he loves you. Here's what we must do, and let me just wrap this up with three quick points, and that is this. Realize how much he loves you, and that's simply by receiving his love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Receive his love. Number two, love him back. Love him back. You know, when you say I love you to your loved one, isn't it great when they say I love you too? I mean, come on, some of us need I love you too. Are you hearing me? Right? I look at Kim and I say, I love you, and then it's silent. I'm saying, I love you. I said I love you. I love you too. Come on. Some of us need a I love you too. God wants I love you too. He wants you to love him back. I mean, that means we need to be passionate about him. And on Sundays, we need to be passionate about him. I mean, come on. I keep using this analogy, but Saturday looks more like the book of Psalms than Sunday does. On Saturday, they call you a fan. On Sunday, they call you a fanatic. I don't care. I want to be, that's what I need to be passionate about. It's him. We need to be going all in and be passionate about him. Come on, everybody. Let's be passionate. I mean, if we're going to worship God, let's just go. Come on, let's go all in. Let's worship him. Let's be a fanatic for Jesus. Mark says this in chapter 12. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandment than these. Point three, and that is love what he loves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for one who died for them and was raised again. We need to live for somebody else. Dwayne, help me close it out. I got a call yesterday. My mom was so upset. She said, the guy across the street, his plumbing is stopped up. And your dad went over there to see about him. Actually, my sister heard about it, called her dad. And she's always the one protecting my dad because he's older and doesn't want to have to get into having to do stuff. But somehow or other, she called him to try to get him to call somebody. Well, then he went over there. It was people across the street. They couldn't speak English very well. And dad called a plumber for him. When the plumber got there, they said, well, we have no money. He had to interpret for him, but he not only had to do that, he had to finance it. My dad had to pay for the plumbing. We didn't have to, but he did. And my mom was like, you know, we don't have the money. Pay for their plumbing. They need to pay for their own plumbing. And my dad's response was, what are neighbors for? I guess that's what you have neighbors for. And I want to tell you, there's people whose plumbing's backed up. There's people who's got problems. There's people who are in a battle right now. And folks, we need to be about them. We need to be about them. You know why? Because God is about you. He's passionately in love with us. I can't understand that. Can't understand it. But I'm so thankful for it. So thankful for it. It may be that you're saying, I don't even get what you're talking about. I don't know what you're so wound up about, Pastor. I don't know what the big deal is here. A lot of times the case in churches because of this problem, that is apathy. Apathy, it's apathos, which means without passion. Without passion. Some of us have turned to different things trying to solve that thing. You know, some of us get into football. Some of us get into our job. Both of those will let you down. Some of us pour into loving family and love and family and finding a love and all that stuff, and that's good, but it can let you down. There's only one thing that will never, ever let you down, and that's Jesus. We need an enthusiasm for him. That's enthu. It's with God is what that means, with God. When we're with him, I want to tell you, and he's in our heart, and he walks with us, and we fellowship with him, and he loves us, and he interacts with us, and we are engaged with him. I'm telling you, it'll change your life, change everything. Would you bow your heads for a moment in prayer? Today, if you're here and saying, you know, I don't have that passion, I don't even have that real connection that I need with God, but I hear what you say, Pastor. And by faith, I receive the fact that he loves me and he does care about me. Despite everything I'm going through, I know God loves me and he has a better plan for me. He has a master plan for my life. But today you'd say, I need to be saying I love you too. I need to say I love you back. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you're separated from him, you're not where you need to be with him, you're away from him, I want to give you an opportunity to come home. Come back in relationship with him. Maybe this is your first time committing. I'm going to lead you in the same prayer I'm about to lead you in, these others in, and we're going to see God change your life. If you'll do this by faith, if that's you today, you say, Pastor, when you pray, Would you include me? I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but I just want to pray a prayer with you right where you're sitting. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you. But if that's you today, would you just slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray, would you include me in that? Pray very quickly. Just slip up your hand and you can put it right back down right now. God bless you today. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. All right. Anyone else? Pastor, I need him. I need him today. I need him today. Something's missing. I can't go a step further without him. God bless you today. Let's pray this prayer together. Would you just, in your own, I'm going to help you with the words, but would you just make this your own from your heart? Pray this prayer right where you're seated. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I invite you to come inside of me. Breathe in me again, new life. Open my heart to you. Forgive me for all my mistakes and all my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank you for paying my sin debt for me so that I don't have to. You paid it for me. So I don't have to go to hell, that place where sin is paid for. I can go to heaven because you paid it for me. Thank you, Jesus. By faith, I receive you. I give you my life, and I accept you now. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for every person that needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. I thank you for those that have come for the first time or just recommitted today. God, I thank you, God, that you're totally committed to them. May they know it. May they experience it. May step by step you guide them and direct them. God, I pray that this church, our church, would be on point. God, when we get on point and we get aligned with you, there's nothing impossible with you. There's nothing impossible with our God. I thank you for that fact today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, guys. Let's celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.